And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Dear Christian friends, on this day, the Lutheran Church commemorates Frederick the Wise, Christian ruler. Our text from Acts 2 is appropriate for remembering those whom the Lord has saved, those who live in Christ and who die in Christ. Well, Elector Frederick the Wise died on this day, May 5th, 1525, after a long illness. He was 63. And on the day he died, he received the Lord's Supper in both kinds for the first time in his life. That was new for him, but the Christian life described in Acts 2, the devotion to the Christian teaching, the life together in Christ, the breaking of bread, a life of praying, this was not new to him. Like Christians of all ages, Frederick was baptized into Christ. He wore the name of Christ on him, like that heavy mantle we always see him wearing in the paintings by the Wittenberg artist Lucas Cranach. Several Cranach works show Frederick worshiping the child Christ and venerating his mother Mary. Although he never fully moved from the old faith of the Roman Church to the evangelical faith of the Reformation, Frederick believed in Christ, his Savior, and he lived and died bearing his name. We call him Frederick the Wise, but he was not always called wise. Luther called him a fool, and many other things that would be unhelpful in our commemoration of him here today. Luther called him these things, but that was Luther, and it was early on in the Reformation. You see, Frederick had his relic collection, over 19,000 relics, and he put them on display on the Day of All Saints in Wittenberg, and venerating them got you indulgences. He got started collecting relics when on pilgrimage to Jerusalem in 1491. Frederick was a very devout Christian prince, a man of his time, and he did what he felt that he should do for his people in his role as a Christian prince, and that meant providing them relics to venerate. Well, a few years after the indulgence controversy, when Luther learned that Frederick was listening and that he did little to prevent the work of reform, and after Frederick had saved Luther's life several times, Luther grew in his esteem for Frederick, and eventually he came to honor and cherish him. In fact, he loved him because he knew how well Frederick, in his heart, loved the Word of God. Frederick wanted his preachers to deliver sermons possessing the majesty and power of the Holy Scriptures. Nothing cold, nothing weak, strength and substance from a preacher. This Frederick demanded. And this, Luther remarked, was a view worthy of a pope. Well, this is worth attention. Although he had harsher words for others, Luther spilt plenty of ink blasting the German princes, sometimes right under Frederick's nose. But Frederick knew what Luther was about, even if he was too bold for me, as he remarked after Luther's stand at the Diet of Worms. Yet witness to the truth and Christian conscience required firm words and decisive actions. Luther knew what Frederick was about, and he received his protection with gratitude. Luther said that Frederick was distinguished by the greatest prudence in making decisions and in ruling. He was a good and wise prince, he praised, one who was truly the father of his country, and he governed excellently. Luther noted his great wisdom in political relationships and called him the Solomon of electoral Saxony. And he praised him for being a German prince who never went to war. Frederick built the castle church. He built the University of Wittenberg, and when they needed someone to teach Bible there, the Augustinians promoted one of their bright young fellows. Luther was made a doctor of theology. In those days, the recipient of the doctoral degree had to pay for the ceremony in which the degree was conferred and the banquet that followed. Well, Luther the monk had no funds, neither did the Augustinians, and so Elector Frederick was approached to foot the bill for the whole affair. It was his university, after all. Well, after a year's delay, Frederick reluctantly agreed, but on the condition that Martin Luther would remain a professor of biblical theology at the University of Wittenberg for the rest of his life. Frederick was not called wise until decades after his death, and no one knows who started calling him that. Even though he was one of the seven electors in the German Empire, many in the empire hated him because they couldn't control him. Frederick was careful and cautious. He had a strong sense of fairness and a conviction of what was right and what was wrong. Who's to say for certain, but it might not have been an easy thing to be a German prince in the 16th century. There were a lot of things to attend to, chief among them protecting life against destructive forces, of which there were many. Frederick's vocation as a prince, as a leader of people in the left-hand realm, was a weighty one, and there was no sloughing it off. There was too much to do, and too many people depending on it. To be an instrument in the hand of God is not always an easy thing to be. And its difficulty is not reserved for princes only. Holding God to his promises while being held firmly by him for his purposes is what Christians are called to do. Being grasped in Christ and living out our vocations as little Christs to our neighbors, to those around us, that is the calling. And yet we are equipped for this life. God gives his gifts for this life and for the life to come, and there's more. The Holy Spirit's saving presence among us in the gospel of Christ, it's all there in Acts chapter 2. Baptized into the name of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, devotion to the apostles' teaching and the life together, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This is, in simple form, the Christian life. This is life in Christ, the life that we share with one another and with all Christians of all times and in all places. And so, in this life together, we remember and honor those who have gone before us, and we give thanks to God. Frederick died during a very difficult time in the German lands. It was the height of the bloody peasants' revolt. Few princes were able to attend his funeral. They were off fighting in the war. Luther preached two sermons, one at Frederick's funeral, the other at his burial. And in his sermons, Luther said very little about Prince Frederick himself, but rather, he proclaimed the resurrection of the dead. In the end, our commemoration is not really about honoring Frederick for his own sake or for what he did for Luther's, but rather to give glory to God and to praise him for his love and his kindness to us. This is only possible because of Christ. What Christ did for Frederick the Wise, he has done for each of us. The same God who was faithful to Frederick throughout his life is faithful to us. He will be with us and walk with us in our days ahead. And he will give us the same and sure confidence that Frederick had, that because Jesus Christ lived and died and lives again, we too will live with him in eternity. For we have a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And for this we give him all thanks and praise. Amen. We stand for the singing of the hymn.